In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. From Acts chapter 20. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And finally, from Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. As far as text. The theme of all of our scripture readings today is obvious and it is simple and clear. Watch out for false prophets, false teachers. And these three sections of scripture are not the only times this warning is brought up in the Bible. The prophets Ezekiel and Jeremiah, which we had a portion of in our Old Testament reading, both have a major emphasis in their Old Testament books of speaking against false prophets. The prophets Malachi and Isaiah also provide warnings of this in the Old Testament. The Apostle Peter devotes most of his second epistle, 2 Peter in the New Testament, to warning against false teachers. Jude in the New Testament devotes his entire short letter to that same theme. The Apostle John, in all three of his epistles and in Revelation, repeatedly warn of false teachers. St. Paul's final words to the church in Ephesus, which we have in our text from Acts today, is a warning for them, especially their pastors and elders, to watch out for false teachers, to make sure that they keep sound doctrine. St. Paul repeats this also in his letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians, and also in the letters to the Romans, Corinthians, Colossians, Galatians, and in his letters to pastors Timothy and Titus. And of course, we have Jesus himself who warns of false prophets, as we have in our gospel text today. So this is not an obscure teaching in the Bible. In fact, several years ago, a seminary professor assigned a project for us to work on throughout the semester. We had to systematically work our way through the entirety of the Bible and to try and categorize several different teachings, major teachings, in order to determine how many times each area is addressed. When we completed the project, we were amazed to see that the warning against false doctrine and false teachers is emphasized more than any other thing that we found, even more than love and unity. Though in my paper associated with the project, I made the point that the warning against false teaching is directly related to our Christian love and unity. And that is the point that I would like to make here for you today, that the Bible's frequently repeated command to beware of false prophets isn't a suggestion. It's the most necessary thing in the world. Like drinking water and eating food, it is necessary for your life. That is why we have a whole Sunday where the readings are devoted to this, that we may learn this important and necessary teaching. And we see how necessary it is in our gospel text when Jesus calls the false prophets ravenous wolves. Now, he attaches that word ravenous there, which in the Greek is the word for a snatcher, someone who takes away or steals. And Jesus calls them this because false teachers snatch away faith. They steal it from your hearts. Now, this is a deeply personal thing for you and for your God. To rob your faith away is to rob you of being a human being in the truest sense of that word. Because to be human is to be the creation of God, made in his image to love him and trust in him and know him and to live with him forever. That's what humanity was created to be. And so when Jesus commands us to beware of false teachers, he's speaking from his fatherly heart of love to ours. Just as a father would plead with his son not to ruin his life with drunkenness and drugs and fornication, such warnings are done in genuine love in order to defend their life. Jesus is protective and defensive of us. We are his children, made so through the waters of holy baptism. And it's a beautiful thing because he wants our happiness. He wants our joy. We are his creation, his beloved children. He wants us with him and his Father and the Holy Spirit in eternal joy forever. But the devil wants us to be with him, miserable here, and finally in the misery of hell forever. That is the reality of our life. That's the reality of everyone's life, whether they know it or not. And Jesus emphasizes this immediately before our gospel text this morning when he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." This is what Jesus says immediately before the warning about false teachers. Now, what is the narrow way, the narrow gate that leads to life? Without any doubt, it is Jesus himself. He himself says it is. He says in John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And he also says in John chapter 10, "I am the door of the sheep." He is the gate. Jesus is the narrow way that leads to life. Now, the devil can't destroy Jesus, obviously. Jesus is God. The devil actually tried to destroy Jesus through Herod just after his birth, then through temptation in the wilderness, and then through Pilate and the leaders of the Jews, through death and suffering and crucifixion. But it was precisely in his death that Jesus destroyed death, that he could crush the head of the serpent and won over the devil, and he opened to us the way of everlasting life. So though he tried, the devil can't touch Jesus in his person. He can't destroy the way to everlasting life. So what does the devil do? He attacks us. He attacks our Lord's dearest treasure, what he gave his own life and blood for. The devil attacks that which links us to our God and makes us his own. And that's our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God, the Bible says. And so if you corrupt the word, if you teach lies in the place of the word that brings Jesus to you, then you destroy faith. And that is the devil's goal. And it's personally directed against you and me and everyone who bears the name Christian and has been baptized and called God's own child. Every single day of your life, that is the devil's one item on his to-do list. It is why the way to heaven is called difficult. Jesus says so. I think it's interesting that sometimes people think, oh, I can just live the Christian life and it's so easy. I can be complacent and sort of ho-hum about how I live the Christian life, indifferent towards coming to church or reading the Bible and praying, maybe right before a meal or something like that. But many people are just indifferent about how active they should be in their Christian life. But no, the Christian life is difficult. Jesus says that it is. Now, it's not difficult because we have to work for it. Jesus gives it freely of his grace and mercy. He bought it with his own blood. But it is difficult because the devil works against it with all of his lies. And the world and our own sinful flesh are on the devil's side. It's difficult to hold the faith true until the end. And Jesus, your Savior, he takes this personally. He has spent his life, his honor, and his glory on you to make you his own and to have you with him forever. He wears your flesh. He took on human flesh, becoming like us. He suffered your death. He bore your sins in his body. He sought you out and made you a Christian. He does this because he loves you. He wants you. And so every single day of Jesus' life, the one item on his to-do list is your salvation, which he delivers to you by his pure word and sacraments. And so Jesus hates false teaching. He hates false doctrine. He hates all lies about God. He can't stand anything that would corrupt his work of salvation and thus tear us away from him. So he hates anything that distorts his word and sacrament. And that's why he warns us and pleads with us like a father to pay attention to his warning. Beware of false prophets. Take this personally as Jesus, your Savior, does. It is a very serious teaching given to us here, a major teaching of the Bible, because what is at stake here is literally your eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, the irony is, as I already hinted at a minute ago, is that many Christians in the world and in our culture today do not take this warning seriously. Often, many Christians are just downright complacent, indifferent, and uncaring when it comes to the matter of false teaching and false teachers. In fact, many times those who do take this most often repeated teaching in the Bible seriously are mocked by their own fellow Christians. Any pastor today who follows the example of Scripture through the prophet Jeremiah, who told the believers in God he was sent to proclaim God's word to, not to listen to the false teachers, or pastors who follow the direction of St. Paul to the church in Ephesus, as we heard in our reading from Acts, and warns those in his flock about even false teachers who bear the name Christian, such pastors are often turned on and bit at by the sheep. He will be called judgmental and unloving and unchristian. He will be shouted at by the very people God has placed him as an overseer over to defend and to protect. Now, it's always been this way. It's why most of the prophets and apostles were killed by the very people of God that they were sent to proclaim God's word to. But a pastor is called an under-shepherd because he serves under the good shepherd, Jesus. And so when a pastor or any other Christian, but especially pastors, warn others about false teaching and false teachers, he is actually doing it in love. He's not on a power trip. Just as the good shepherd loves you and doesn't want anything to hurt you or to tear you away from him, so also Jesus' servants, his pastors, love you. And they're warning you because they love you of the danger that is out there for you. Now, we also have to realize then what this danger looks like and how the attack comes according to the Word of God. Pastors and Christians can't just go walking around calling out false teachers. Oh, there's a false teacher, stay away from them. No, that's not really helpful, and it's not the correct way according to Scripture for how we go about this. We have to go by what Scripture tells us is false and how it prepares us to stand firm. Now, the devil has a two-pronged attack that he uses. He tries to steal faith away from us in two ways, that is, with two kinds of false prophets. And by the way, a prophet is just a teacher. You could say pastor, but that's really just a little too narrow. It's really, especially in our gospel, anyone who teaches. So the devil first attacks, first by openly false teaching, and then also he attacks with subtle teaching, that is in disguise. So first, openly. Well, we have other religions, right? Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, and the other Eastern religions. Those are all open and obvious attacks, right? Because they deny Jesus as Lord. They openly declare that they don't believe in Jesus at all. They are other religions. But there is also another religion out there that often is not recognized. Many people try to call it being an atheist or agnostic, or they might say that they're just neutral, or they call themselves secular, but it is an obvious religion where Jesus is obviously brushed aside, where the Bible is called a myth, and instead people believe in the ever-changing so-called scientific or academic consensus, as if something like that actually exists. And so here we too are obviously dealing with an open attack on Jesus, an open denial of Jesus as the way. So for example, we see this in our culture and world today, the open promotion of homosexuality, or the idea that a man or woman can change his or her gender to be the other. The teaching of evolution, where the creator becomes irrelevant and non-existent. The explanation of death as the nothing but the circle of life, as Disney and The Lion King tried to teach, and that death is not the result of sin. These are all open attacks on Jesus as Lord, and they are openly promoted in our schools and in our universities and even in our laws now, and all over the media and in entertainment. Thousands of politicians, thousands of professors and teachers, thousands of reporters are intent on teaching this false religion to you and your children. And they use your tax dollars to do it, by the way. Isn't that great? This is an open attack on our Lord Jesus and what his word of truth teaches. And so we need to realize this, and we need to teach ourselves and our children to recognize these open attacks on Jesus. We need to teach ourselves the truth and be very intent and serious about it. And we need to be aware of these false prophets, because they are religious prophets. They are not secular. But it's not actually this open attack that our readings today here are specifically addressing, and specifically not Jesus and what he is warning about in our gospel. Jesus warns against the subtle attack, that second kind of attack, the disguised attack of those who call him Lord, who call themselves Christians, those who pretend to be Christians, but they wear sheep's clothing, and inwardly they are ravenous, faith-snatching wolves. We need to be serious about this too. Now, all of that being said, we've entered into a very strange era. The open attack is sometimes hard to distinguish from the subtle attacks today. And that's because there are churches who claim the title Christian, like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church, United States of America, the United Christian Church, most of the United Methodist Church in America, and the Episcopal Church, and many other liberal denominations and even churches that call themselves non-denominational. Their teachers, not necessarily every person sitting in the pews of those churches, but their teachers, and officially as a church body, they openly teach things that stand against Scripture, like homosexuality, abortion, transgenderism, and fornication. They have simply adopted wholesale the world's opinions. The world loves what it loves, and so they promote it in the churches and pat them on the back and say, oh, you're just living the way that God wants you to be happy. But it's a lie. You need to be very serious about this. They make the category of sin meaningless. They call into question things that God's word surely teaches. They promote the exact same things against Jesus. But these so-called churches promote these lies and use Jesus' name to rubber stamp it. The ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, just 2 years ago, declared that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. They did this as an official church body in their convention. But then they continue to call themselves Christian, and most ashamedly to us, Lutherans. If Jesus isn't the only way to heaven, what is there that is Christian about that? They attack the Bible as if it contains errors, and they do it all in the name of Jesus while doing away with the need for Jesus. This is the worst kind of hypocrisy, the worst breaking of the second commandment. And the sad part is that these false prophets actually succeed. They tend to look very big and successful. They lure people into their churches by the way that they pat them on the back and say it's okay to live however you want to live. They've snatched people away from our dual parish, very sadly. They succeed in convincing people that they can still be good Christians while living in what the Bible calls open sin. For example, St. Paul says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But churches like the ELCA and the PCUSA and the Methodists all say that you can live according to the flesh because God made you that way. This is all very dangerous and very serious. It leads you away from the true faith and what God's word proclaims. And this is why Jesus stresses, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's why we cannot be churches who believe uncritically everything that a pastor may say or anything that we hear and receive in the media or from our teachers and from our schools and from our universities. We are to judge by God's word alone, the Bible. Hold your pastors to it. Hold me to it. Know your Bibles so that you may test with discerning ears, Scripture says, what you hear, that you may have only the truth. Make sure that what you have preached to you, what you have taught to you, what you make a regular part of your daily diet and what you receive in entertainment and media is nothing but the word of truth. And this is all so that you will never hear those awful words that Jesus warns that many will hear on the last day. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. It is very serious. But hold to the word of truth. Beware of false prophets, so that instead you may hear only the beautiful words of our Savior, well done, good and faithful servant. Because this is what is at stake here, eternal salvation by faith in Christ alone. While the groups I mentioned previously should be easy to recognize as they shamelessly lay open their sinful deeds right out there for all to see, the false prophet operates, though, within Christ's church. He wears sheep's clothing. As I said earlier, we feel bad, we feel judgmental and unchristian if we look at someone who calls themselves a Christian and says, that's false. But again, it is actually the most loving thing that we can do because eternal life is at stake here. Beware of false prophets. It is a message of God's love for you. Now, these are very serious and sobering words that we have in our readings here today. You can tell by the very serious look on many of your faces that I've been seeing this whole sermon. But these are very important and loving words that pertain to your life and your perseverance in the true faith unto life everlasting with Jesus, your Savior. So receive them this morning and every day with the love of your God and Savior. And heed them and live according to them in love as well. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus here in time and unto life everlasting. Amen.